Now our reading from God's Word takes us again into one of the Gospels this evening, the Gospel according to Luke, to chapter 12, and there we are reading from verse 13 to verse 31. We read the account of the parable that Jesus gave of the rich fool, and into those verses that are also recorded in Matthew's Gospel as part of the Sermon on the Mount, for us not to worry or be anxious. Luke chapter 12, verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn. Yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than birds? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well." And may the Lord be pleased to bless that portion of his inspired word to our hearts. Now we turn our attention this evening to Luke chapter 12 and the parable that Jesus gave with regards to the life of a rich man. We notice the context here that someone came in the crowd to ask Jesus to divide the inheritance with his brother. A dispute had happened there. And it's strange because in the context of these verses, it wasn't something that was naturally, it was almost an interruption to what Jesus was saying. He had been talking, you notice there, in the opening verses about being on your guard against the east or hypocrisy of the Pharisees, not to be afraid of those who kill the body. He was speaking as well about acknowledging me, the Son of Man, before other men, that the Lord then would be pleased to honor them. And if you're brought before the synagogues, don't worry about how you will speak. The Holy Spirit will give you words to speak and that. And in the midst of that teaching element of what it means to be a Christian and standing for the Lord, this man, he almost comes in at a wrong angle. and sort of interrupts it all. It's like a school teacher giving a history lesson and somebody just slips in a question about some pop group. And you think, well, that's got nothing to do with the context in which we're talking about here. And so you see the way in which the Lord Jesus then answered it immediately. Who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you? Pointing them there really to the Old Testament, to the law. There was very clear laws in Deuteronomy and in Leviticus with regards to the division and the inheritance. Maybe a dispute between an older and a younger son. Well, it was clearly outlaid there. And yet he brought his personal concerns and worries into this subject matter. And then, rather than Jesus go back to the main subject, which he will pick up then in verse 22 about not worrying in the context of when you're persecuted or when you're in difficulty and people oppose you, how will the Lord provide you for you, which carries on in verse 22 following, Jesus does give a short parable here. A teaching parable, and one main point, the answer to it, is clearly seen in verse 21. This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich towards God. So I wonder perhaps tonight as we come to this parable, have you ever forgotten something important? Constant battle now, isn't it? As we come perhaps to be a little bit older, we check our pockets. I had to do it tonight. I had my keys, had my Bible and the sermon, had my glasses, but I had to go back. I'd forgotten my mask. Well, you know, these constant sort of needs to we're forgetting perhaps the essential things, the important things that we need to be able to go shopping even, or to go out. Now, sometimes we can be perhaps so busy with what we're doing that we forget the most important things. And this is what we have here before us. Here's certainly a man whom Jesus gives in this parable, speaks of in this parable, a man who forgot the important things. Three main points this evening to help us to understand what this parable is teaching. Firstly, here's a man who disregarded the invisible, or he paid no attention to God, no thought of God. He disregarded the invisible. And in one sense, it was the invisible God who had provided all this for him. He had no acknowledgement of that at all. Second thing we'll notice is that he neglected the indispensable. We've prayed this evening of countries in the world where there is great need. And if the Lord has been pleased to bless us, if he's been pleased to in one sense to help us and to give us more perhaps than we really need, well, to neglect the indispensable, that is caring for our neighbour, is something that we will be held accountable for. So he disregarded the invisible, he neglected the indispensable, and our third and final point will be, he then overlooked the inevitable. And that is that life in a moment can be, as a sort of a little lamp, a little candle, can be blown out. It's but a sort of a vapour, a mist that lasts for a moment and then is gone. And he forgot that. He was planning long term and he had no real cause to plan long term. In one sense, one day at a time is the solution to many of our difficulties. So let's start by looking at this farmer before we begin the main point of the first of the three. Let's notice what verse 16 tells us. Here's a man, but he is, you notice, already in verse 16, described as a man, the ground of a certain rich man. So we're not now to think that here was a man in poverty, who'd known hardship, a struggle to make ends meet, and then all of a sudden he gets a bumper crop, and because he's not used to that sort of return, he has this problem. What shall I do? I'm ill-equipped. I don't really know what to do with it. No, he was already a rich man. And we can probably think of, certainly most of Europe would be in this category. We are rich. We might not feel that we're rich. Most rich men don't feel that they're rich enough. But in comparison, if you take a little bit of a look into some of the programs that are available, some of the information that is available, some of the sort of dietary needs of individuals, what they're eating today, how much it's costing them to live, you'd be shocked. You'd be shocked at how little. This is the whole reason, perhaps, for these food banks and these other problems. And we can point the blame and we can say, well, yes, they're not managing their money correctly. But here is a man now, he is rich to begin with. Rich to begin with. Didn't have to worry about where his next meal was coming from. I don't think any of us had to worry about that. We might be having a chat about what sort of meat we're going to eat and what sort of dessert we'll have for after. But we've got no concern as that we'd eat whatever's available. He didn't have to think as well about what he would wear if his clothes got wet or they were worn out. Didn't have to be concerned about how he'd keep warm in the cold, in the cold evenings or during the winter months. All these things he took for granted. And I think, by and large, our fellowship is in that category. We are hearing there's going to be an increase of fuel prices. There's going to be an increase of heating bills. But I think we're a little bit grieved about it. Nobody likes paying out extra. But in reality, none of us are going to go cold this winter. We'll manage well. So here's a man then. He's rich already. And on top of that, then, you read, here is a man then. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. Now, immediately you can see, you could say, well, on a natural level, he's already blessed. Now, at the first point, he disregards the invisible. He's unable to see behind the scenes and see that this blessing has come from above. Now, if he thinks that it's the blessing that has come from himself, that it's his acumen as a businessman or as a farmer, and it's his purchase of certain land, well, he wanted even all these things we know in the providence of God are ordered. And so perhaps that we would feel to be ourselves already rich and well blessed. It's only because the Lord caused us to be born where we are. And in one sense, we could have been born somewhere else and our situation could have been completely different. We might have had a battle a different way. In life, it might have been very hard, but the lines are fallen unto us, as we read in the Psalms, in pleasant places. But is that because of that we're some sort of greater, a white superiority, an intellectual ability of Western civilization? It's little to do with that. We've already been blessed, and yet you can disregard the invisible. And his fields give a bumper crop here. By God's providence, one particular year is well over and above what he normally gathers in. And guess what? He started to worry. He started to think and he started to be concerned about what he was going to do to store up this safely. And that's something that, again, we can mention. In one sense, the more we increase, perhaps in our possessions, our acquisitive nature, then have you not noticed, rather than it being a relief to you, it's more of a concern for you? I'm sure if you're parking your car off the road, or you've got a garage, well, you're more relaxed than someone perhaps who feels they have to park it on the road and they have to keep looking out of the window every night to make sure that it's not damaged. You can see something of this happening then, is that there's a sense of blessing, there's a sense of improving. And yet, the more we have, the more we have to worry about. Now, perhaps you don't have stocks and shares. Well, then you don't have to worry. But if you have stocks and shares, you have to have a little look at it. You may have to move some, because you can lose as well as gain. And so the more, perhaps, we acquire, the more worries we have. And so even perhaps we're a little bit fearful not to go away too long on holiday, because who knows, someone could break in. We've got things there that are of value to us. And we're concerned about its upkeep. And now we have this point then. Here he's storing it up. He wants to store it up. He's asking the question, what shall I do? Now you can immediately imagine another person with a different background, a poor farmer perhaps, or a man that doesn't have as much land. He's asking the question, what must I do, or what can I do? What shall I do? But his sort of question is more as to how he's going to make ends meet. Now we know from Moses' teaching in the book of Deuteronomy, you shall remember the Lord your God, that it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. David himself says this in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, both riches and honour come from thee, and you reign over all. And what this man has done, he's disregarded the inevitable. He's forgotten that all the blessings and the extras, we receive them from God. And in one sense, we receive them as stewards. We don't own them, we don't control them. God has blessed us with this man with possessions of fields. And also as well, we know that the Lord God has given the sun to shine, the rain to fall, the seed to grow. And yet we read of him that he never once, do you read here, that he thought to give thanks to God. It seemed that the only person he was congratulating was himself. And again, in terms of the way perhaps life had fallen out for him, if things had gone smoothly, it was because of him. The reality is, if things have run smoothly in our lives and we haven't had so much heartache and pain and problems and difficulties, we might put it down to what we have done, but in reality, it's God in his common grace has been good to us. And as well, it makes us mindful then of the need of others. So we can perhaps be untrained in thankfulness. It's something we know that parents seek to instruct their children to say thank you and please. That's an important part of growing up. Do we give thanks to the Lord for all his blessings that we've received? Now we might come on a harvest evening on that one time in the year and think, well, that's the time to give thanks, the Thanksgiving service. But it's to be something that we do on a daily basis. Especially as we think not only of the temporal blessings, but of the spiritual blessings that are ours. For God not only sends the rain and the wind and the rain and the sun to bless the harvest, but he sent his own son as a corn of wheat to fall into the ground to die so that sinners could be forgiven. Are we those then who are spending time reading the Bible? Oh, we've got copies of it at home, but are we, to what extent, as we look at this harvest in comparison to last harvest, have we sown anything as far as our thoughts and our time into God's word? Or have we got to that point in our Christian life where we say, well, I've read through the Bible now, I've really basically got it all, I understand the Old Testament, New Testament, prophets, history, the wisdom books, yes, and the Gospels and the Epistles. I've got the outline of it. You know, I just come along and listen to sermons, maybe a bit critically and think, well, I don't agree with that, but no longer that study, where perhaps when we were first converted, we wanted to read God's word, we wanted to absorb it, we wanted to grow in likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I told you a number of times in the past, the little story of the boy who found a book under the stairs. And he said to his mother, he said, what's this book, Mum? And she said, oh, you be careful with that book. That's God's book. You put it back, that's God's book. And the little boy said, well, Mum, perhaps we'd better give it back to him because we're not using it. And that can be us. We can have perhaps got the knowledge of the Bible. And we've got the Bible. I know some I visit homes. They say, oh, I've always got the Bible by the side of my bed. And then I go on embarrassingly to ask, well, do you read it every night? The Bible is there as a sort of a talisman, a sort of a help. But it's not being really thought on. Now, return to this story of this man. He decides, he's got to make a decision. So he decides now on building a bigger barn. This is the option. He said to himself, this is what I'll do. He'd asked the question, what shall I do? He thought about it. And then he said, I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store up my grain and my goods. This is a phrase, I'm sure it's already been mentioned a number of times. It might well be mentioned again. It's become a bit of a mantra, really, in Manchester this week. We're going to build back better. Build back better. But if all the concern is about the wealth, and it seems from what I heard that the matrix, our Prime Minister was asked with regards to the matrix, is it going to be life expectancy, is it going to be to deal with cancer? No, it's more to do with the wealth of the nation. Now, if it's that the wealth of the nation then is the important element that they've got to concentrate on so that it can be evenly distributed, and you need a policy to be able to evenly distribute it, well, that's acceptable. But if you just concentrate on the wealth, you're building back better. And that only, without thought not only of thanking God, but also as well, this second point of being neglecting the indispensable, that is, the caring for one's neighbour, well, then there will be consequences. With all that extra wheat and vegetables and fruit that he had that year, the farmer knew that he didn't have enough room to store it. So the only solution is to either enlarge or to build bigger barns. And he felt that that was how he could solve the solution. And because of the bigger barns, he was then able to lay up these goods for himself. If you notice that point, I will lay up these goods for myself. This is what I'll do. I'll tear down the barns, build bigger ones, and then I will store up my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. He neglected the indispensable. Can God trust you with the wealth he has given you? If we honestly look, how much are we actually aware of the needs of other people? Now, the immediate membership of our fellowship are well catered for. But those on the fringes, those outside, those we would seek to reach, do we ever think perhaps that the blessing God has given us might be, yes, for ourselves and our family, but it might also be for those outside? He neglected the indispensable. You could perhaps imagine some of the leaders of the town coming to him and having a little conversation with him. And he may be thinking, oh, they're coming to congratulate me on my bumper harvest and maybe to invite me to speak in some sort of meeting or to other farmers as how to become successful, or even had it been in those days to offer him perhaps an award as the Farmer of the Year. Had such things been possible in those days? But he probably would have looked very surprised if they'd gone up to him and they began to sort of speak to him. And then they'd said, you've really done very well this year and we were wondering if you'd be willing. And he's probably about to say, yes, I'll accept the award. And they say, well, no, would you be willing to share your bumper harvest, your good harvest, with many of the poor in the town who have little to manage by over the winter months? You can imagine a sense of consternation. I mean, what? This is my blessing. I'm going to store it up. It's my insurance for the future. It's my retirement pension and my security for the rest of my happy and contented life. Thank you very much. But he forgot, as all of us can forget, that we are accountable. He neglected the indispensable. He'd forgotten something important. He'd forgotten about others. He talked of the harvest, you notice, as my goods. And the sad point is, you notice here the reference to the first person. If you read the chapter, read the account here, 6 times you have I, 4 times you have my in the story, 10 times he refers to himself. Never reference to God, never reference to others. It's all about me, myself, and I. And that's the danger. That's part and parcel of a fallen nature that each and every one of us inherited from Adam, and we ourselves have developed it in the habits and character that we have formed. And so he takes upon this thought that he didn't realize he's not the owner. He's but a steward and held responsible for what these goods could do. And just as people don't own the earth or its wealth, they have to then realize that they have it on loan as a steward and to care for it and to use its wealth for the benefit of all its people. It's just as well that the Lord Jesus himself didn't think like this farmer. Let's pause to remember our Saviour for a moment. He could have stayed in heaven, could have enjoyed the worship of the angels. I'm not going to step down into a world of poverty, a world of sin, a fallen world. He could have remained there without considering the poor and needy. You might think perhaps that we don't need the Lord Jesus Christ so much to help us these days. You see, we've got even the security system and the sort of welfare benefit system to support us. But in comparison again to many in the developing world, we are still poor and needy in the Lord's sight. Although perhaps we feel materially and temporally we are well catered for. We're in need because of the things we have done and things we have not done. And Jesus came and he was thinking about us when he came. He didn't forget us. And we need to remember that Jesus didn't forget you, didn't forget me. So we've looked at those two main points then, that he certainly to begin with had no thought of God. He disregarded the invisible God. He neglected the indispensable need of caring for one's neighbour. And then thirdly and finally, he overlooked the inevitable. We read here, but God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" He thought he had enough to last for many years. He thought about the carefree days and the nights that lay before him. The days of hard work were over, and he could now take life easy. He could eat what he wanted when he wanted, drink what he wanted when he wanted. He could have as many parties as he liked. He thought that it was going to be great fun from now on. He was daydreaming, very much as some people perhaps constantly have this daydream of what life is going to be like for them when their lottery numbers come up. You can't live in the past, but you cannot live in the future. You have to live for the now. And God said that everything was not fine. This is the story. God spoke to the farmer. It's the parable. He didn't have the many years ahead of him. He would be made aware that even that very night his soul would be required of him. What does James chapter 4 verses 15 to 16 tell us? You say today and tomorrow we will go to this or to that city, spend a year there and carry on business and make money. But then do you not know that even what we do not even know what will happen tomorrow? Your life is a mist which appears for a little time and then disappears. The farmer forgot something again, vitally important. He forgot the inevitable. He'd forgotten how uncertain life is. And all that perhaps we might plan might never come to happen. The farmer had forgotten that even if he'd built the barns to store up the goods that he had, the barns could have been burnt down. He could have been, somebody could have robbed him of his possessions. But he assumed, that's the word, he assumed so much. And how much perhaps do we assume? We take no knowledge of God, but we assume everything will be well. We plan it out. We plan it out. Daniel chapter 5 speaks of Belshazzar, that in Belshazzar's hand, was the goblets that had been taken from the temple, drinking the wine. And you read of the hand on the writing on the wall that his days were numbered and he was found in the balances and found wanting. And the last very verse of Daniel 5 tells us that that very night Belshazzar was slain. Let's for a moment again just think about the person who is telling this story. He also would not live as long as you might have expected him to live. He was in his early 30s when he died. But strangely enough, Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished," not "I am finished." And it is as if this plan and this work had been completed. And if you look at the Lord Jesus, whatever riches he had, that wonderful verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, he who was rich became poor, so that we through his poverty might become rich. We think of his birth, we think of his virtuous life, we think of his death upon the cross of Calvary. We think of his victorious resurrection from the dead. We think now of his visible return coming in great glory. And the New Testament was written, we know this phrase, it is finished, was written upon bills that had been paid. One single word in the original Greek language. And so although then life for us can be uncertain, we can be sure of one thing. We can't be sure of how long our life will be. And we cannot be sure and certain that what we possess will remain in our possession. But one thing we can be sure of, that the Lord Jesus Christ must have loved us very, very much, that he was willing to come from heaven to this earth. He shut the gates of hell and he opened the gates of heaven. And we need to trust in him. And this is what the Lord Jesus says as he concludes. He says, then if you come to trust in me, you don't need to worry about what you will eat, about what you will drink, about what you will wear. This is something, he says, that the pagan world runs after. But your Father knows that you need these things. But seek first his kingdom. But seek his kingdom and these things will be added to you. We mentioned in our prayer, perhaps when we were younger, we worried, we were anxious. Would we find a job? Would we have enough to make ends meet? Would we be able to have a home to live in? If we were married, could and our children, would we have enough to provide? Well, all of us are of that sort of age this evening. We are not now something that's worrying us in the future. We are looking back. And all that worry and all that anxiety, as we look back on it, oh yes, it's had its difficulties, but is it not true what David has said? It's we were all provided for. We got through it. We're still here. We're still, managing. And in one sense, this is but for temporal life. Well, how much more then should we give attention and concern to our eternal life? Let's make certain then that we are trusting him with all our hearts and have asked him into our lives, and we've asked him to forgive us our sins, and we become part of his kingdom, and that we can be said as we celebrate another Easter, another harvest, seek his kingdom, and all these things then will be added unto you. May God bless his word to our hearts this evening.